A Story Publishing presents Silence or Symphony, Prologue. Rain had lingered over Oxford for 6 straight days, a thin, needling drizzle that polished cobbles to mirror slick and set the spires steaming like kiln chimneys. At 7:41 on an October morning, the cathedral bell tolled prime, its bronze throat vibrating through damp stone and up into the low, pewter sky. Pigeons, startled from the Radcliffe camera's dome, described ragged spirals before settling again, as though reluctant to abandon their ancient perch. The city looked unchanged to the tourists queuing for photographs, but elsewhere, currents moved. In an office the size of a railway carriage, Dr. Eleanor Thorne adjusted the knot of her charcoal scarf, gaze skating over her lecture notes, while her mind tallied smaller things. A faint tremor in her right hand, a draft leaking beneath the sash window, the copper tang of old radiator pipes warming. 32 minutes remained before she faced 100 undergraduates in the cavernous Keble Hall. She reminded herself that tenure reviews, like weather, eventually passed. Proof would see her through. It always had. Across town, in a gentleman's club that admitted ladies only after the 20th century surrender of a single bylaw, Professor Cillian Ward sipped lapsang from bone china and listened to the hiss of gas fires. The Times lay unopened beside him. Ward preferred original sources to newsprint, and a rumor delivered 5 minutes ago was already older than he liked. Outside the mullioned window, students hurried beneath umbrellas the color of bruises. Ward's eyes, spare on warmth yet generous on calculation, followed them until one solitary figure, Nora, shoulders braced against the rain, appeared at the top of Cat Street. He watched her stride past, oblivious, and allowed himself the thinnest slice of a smile. An ocean away, the cracked screen of a Cambridge, Massachusetts laptop glowed aquamarine against unpainted brick. Maya Deshpande hunched over the keyboard, neon pink bangs pinned back by a soldering clip, tracing a recursive glitch buried in commercial satellite firmware. A whistle escaped around the chipped edge of her canine tooth whenever the code pleased her. This morning the air was nearly musical. Yet when an email notification popped, "Mother, Diwali plans?" Maya muttered a half-lamented curse and swiped it into the archive. Deadlines first, apologies later. The employer for this particular freelance gig insisted on anonymity, but the deposit had cleared, and rent waited for no moral calculus. Meanwhile in Cornwall, a man built like a ship's timber jogged the fog-bound cliffs, measuring each breath against breaking surf. Jonathan Jack Mercer preferred dawn when few souls watched him remember the discipline of the Corps. His grandmother's silver compass bounced against his sternum. Every mile or so he thumbed the lid, checking the needle as if direction might suddenly abandon him. At 0805, his mobile vibrated. A London number. No message. He slowed, brow pinching around a pale scar that always itched before trouble, and let the call ring out. The phone went quiet, but the horizon looked different now, closer, restless. Above them all, unseen and still indisputably present, a name written in iron gall ink lay hidden in half a dozen catalogs, Lydia Hale. She had died in 1893, according to the parish registry, and been forgotten long enough for arrays to stack like sediment atop her memory. Somewhere in the deep stacks of the Bodleian, a calfskin diary sealed with a tarnished clasp slept inside stone that hadn't been breached since Queen Victoria's reign. No one walking the streets of Oxford that morning had read a single line of it, yet its words were already tugging at the fabric of their day, pulling threads closer. The drizzle strengthened. Trucks from facility services rumbled into the quadrangle, crewmen unloading aluminum scaffolding destined for the South Library wall. Their boots squelched against mossy flagstones, a quotidian scrape that echoed faintly through archways. A foreman checked the work order. Routine masonry stabilization, low priority, minimal disruption expected, then waved his men forward. Nora heard none of it as she climbed the worn stairs of Keble Hall. The stairwell smelled of old varnish and determination. At the landing, she paused, pressing fingertips to a pulse she wished would slow. She thought of her mother's pending voicemail, of citation counts she could not will into existence, of the feathery chalk dust she was certain clung to the cuffs of her coat. Outside, wind gusted, slapping rain against leaded panes. For the length of a heartbeat, Nora considered feigning illness, but the impulse passed. Proof demanded presence. Behind her somewhere in the city, Ward folded his newspaper and rose, teak-soled shoes knocking a measured rhythm across the club's parquet. In Cambridge, Maya hit compile, eyes narrowing as a line of unexpected symbols rippled across her monitor. On the Cornish headland, Jack turned inland, pace quickening toward the parked Land Rover and the unanswered call. And in the Bodleian sub-basement, a single mortar joint, softened by centuries of damp, shed a whisper of dust onto the concrete floor. Nora exhaled, squared her shoulders, and pushed open the lecture hall door. The hinges groaned like a curtain cable tightening before an unseen stage. 100 conversations stilled, necks craned, laptops poised. Chalk waited, white and brittle, on the metal ledge. Somewhere unseen, a hairline crack lengthened. End of prologue. The clamor receded. Undergraduates snapped shut laptops, zipped rucksacks, and streamed toward the double doors as though oxygen waited beyond them. A few paused to squint at the pewter-colored sky pressing against the skylights. Then the hall was empty, leaving Dr. Eleanor Thorne alone with her unfinished sentence still echoing beneath the beams. She inhaled through her nose. Chalk dust, shaken loose when she'd scrubbed the board too hard, floated among the wool and rain smell Oxford stones released whenever they sweated. Her fountain pen, green lacquer chipped near the clip, murmured over a binder as she recorded the tenure committee's verdict. Outcome: deferred. Ward: promising trajectory, but insufficient external citations. The nib skidded on the word insufficient, betraying the tremor in her hand. She capped the pen, brushed chalk galaxies from dark tweed, and almost missed the soft click behind her. Professor Cillian Ward slipped in, tall, a greyhound in a rain-flecked coat that smelled of cedar pomade and polite disappointment. "Nora," he murmured, voice pitched so the lecture hall's acoustics wouldn't carry, "don't give the post-mortem too much oxygen." "You were, as ever, eloquent." "Eloquence ranks below citation metrics," she replied. "Metrics evolve." His smile stayed professionally cordial. "Take the evening off. Dry out." A brief, correct touch to her elbow, and he was gone. When the door closed, Nora counted 3 heartbeats before allowing her jaw to slacken. Binder, pen, satchel. She gathered them and killed the fluorescence row by row until darkness swept the room like a tide. Rain stitched the quad. She crossed it to the library annex, boots suctioning against mossy stones, ignoring 2 vibrations from her phone. Mother again. Love carried subtler knives than Ward ever would. Coffee steam and fluorescence met her in the vestibule. Cup in hand, she descended to the stacks, intent on one calming circuit among vitrines where disappointments fossilized. A server hummed somewhere. Renovation scaffolding loomed, amber lamp spilling over plastic sheeting. 2 laborers debated football and payday. The younger balanced his ham sandwich on a toolbox. "Evening, Doc," the foreman called. "Everything holding?" "As steady as any budget allows." Nora offered a perfunctory smile and moved on, cataloging aromas by habit: vellum, almond dust, wet marble, copper, floor polish, cheap lemon. Anchor points. A battery saw shrieked. The scaffold shivered. Mustard slick bread slapped stone. "Shite!" the worker groaned. Mortar dust drifted. A brick loosened, then another, until a shallow cavity yawned behind 17th-century masonry. Silence returned. In that niche lay a slim leather diary, bronze clasp tarnished green. "You university types stash all sorts of goodies," the younger man joked, reaching. "Let me," Nora said, surprising herself. The calfskin felt alive beneath her fingers. Initials in filigree, lightning flashed through the clerestory window. For half a breath, she felt watched, not by the workers, but by history itself. "Yes, I'll take custody," she managed, tucking the book into her satchel before her conscience found its footing. No alarms. No ghostly fanfare. Just dust and a sandwich face down on stone. She skirted an inquisitive archivist, escaped into rain, and walked home through a city glazed in water. In her flat, the Hermitage, neighbors whisper quiet, she brewed tea, set the diary beside her laptop, and thumbed the clasp. 14th October 1885. Storm lantern week, the signal of brass faltering in heaven. Outside, thunder rolled. On her screen, a headline updated, satellite glitch over North Atlantic. Brass faltering in heaven. Coincidence shed its disguise. Impossible, she whispered, tasting iron. Impulse tugged, email Maya Deshpande, the estranged cryptographer who could quantify impossibility. She typed, need you to look at something. Urgent, delete, empty screen. Steam curled from a chipped mug that read, trust the data. When lights flickered, Nora closed the diary, but sleep refused her. Servers pinged the heavens, silence answered. 31 hours later, a rideshare's heater rattled along the Mass Pike. Jet-lagged, dehydrated, Nora tracked a sand-colored trench coat in the silver Accord, two cars back, the same stranger from Heathrow. Beside her, Maya whistled a terse C-sharp. Pay attention. Reunion in Cambridge tasted of samosas and unsaid apologies. Maya's code cracked Lydia Hale's references to an abandoned 1775 safe house near Concord. Jack Mercer, ex-Royal Marine, shoulders like a doorframe, agreed to drive. Night draped the meeting house in rain and owl cries. Under UV light, phosphorescent graffiti bloomed across pews, NATO dates, moon landing transcripts, Lydia's cipher spirals, drones battered broken windows, Vesper Knot operatives stormed in. Jack hustled them through a cemetery tunnel that still smelled faintly of gunpowder. Their van fishtailed onto Route 2, red taillights vanishing among pines. Ward summoned Nora back to London with promises of protective custody. In a mahogany-soaked club, Lot 64, a scorched folio bearing Lydia's cipher sparked a bidding war Ward won at £55,000. Smoke grenades, gunfire, sprinklers, chaos drenched priceless vellum. Jack shoved Nora into an alley. Ward diverted Maya's remote hack, first undeniable proof of divided loyalties. On the Thames steps, Nora snapped a photo of the folio's margin cipher. Coordinates resolved to subterranean Oxford, just as Ward waved down a taxi, rain hiding his grin. Victorian-costumed undergrads lit candelabras for a mock seance. Nora's voice slipped into Lydia's archaic cadence until Radcliffe Camera's vault location surfaced between guttering flames. Ward recorded everything. Jack overheard Vesper code words on Ward's comm. Security swarmed. Rain-slick cloisters turned chase course. Ward's fingers grazed Nora's coat, but closed on nothing. Dawn found the trio at the camera's service door, lungs burning as bells tolled first light. Lowering themselves by maintenance lift, they entered the vault, a labyrinth where rotating bookcases hummed like planetary gears. Nora lifted the codex from its vacuum cylinder. Vesper Squad stormed in. Jack sealed himself behind a blast door to buy seconds. Nora and Maya triggered the archaic water suppression system. Stone corridors groaned, frigid water pouring in. Jack's voice echoed somewhere behind iron and rising tide. Folios floated like wounded birds. Jack staggered from a side passage, bleeding but unbowed. On a flooded footbridge, Ward offered partnership in prophecy, gun leveled at the codex. Jack tackled him. The bridge buckled. Ward fell into the torrent, fate uncertain. Nora pried the cylinder. The parchment inside greeted her by full name and the precise minute, custodian must choose silence or symphony. Hours before sunrise, in a candlelit Bodleian reading room running on generator fumes, Nora weighed that parchment. Markets quivered, pundits speculated. She chose a middle path, partial upload, the rest set to auto-release if her vital signs flatlined. Jack shook off a generational oath to secrecy. Maya pressed her brass Ganesh between fingers and promised to call more often than once every apocalypse. Outside, servers blinked like votive candles. Dawn limped over Oxford spires. Ozone, wet stone, and warm copper mingled, a scent both unsettling and hopeful, as the past whispered into whatever future they dared to make. Thank you for choosing Astori Publishing.